Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to HealthyLife.net's Visionary Celebrity Series, a place where you get to call in and talk live to a world-renowned expert. Today's show is Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel, a world-renowned expert on mind-body medicine and patient empowerment. So let's welcome Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Okay, welcome everybody. Today's guest has written a book called How to Heal Yourself When No One Else Can. Amy Scher, S-C-H-E-R. And oh my goodness, on the front cover of the book, it says, Amy has seen the truth and can be a coach to all those who seek healing and authenticity. And it's from a doctor named Bernie Siegel. My goodness. Folks, I'm kidding. I know that was there. But, you know, I mean, to me, and I don't mean this in a negative way ever, that I think we all keep writing the same book, if you know what I mean, that we have experiences. Like, you've had Lyme disease, Amy, so did I. And let me tell you this interesting, you know, I know what you went through with all the symptoms and finding the right treatment, but, you know, I'm so into mind, body, and emotion that I was feeling lousy. I had a spot on my knee, which I thought was a bruise from falling. My head was like in a cloud. I'm feeling depressed, and I'm constantly looking into my life and why I'm feeling this way and what's going on. And then one day somebody said to me, hey, that spot on your knee, that's like the target, you know, from Lyme disease, a tick bite. Ugh.
Yeah.
You mean I'm not depressed and psychotic? And within a few days of antibiotics, I was like a new person. And I always say to people, yes, you know, mind and body interact, but don't forget to pay attention to both things. Don't always blame it on yourself. And, Amy, take a few words before I, because I never stop talking, and there are so many things in your book I want to bring up. But what got you to do this? And let me add, see, I never stop. Solzhenitsyn, in his book Cancer Ward, talks not about a spontaneous remission, which doctors call things when you get well and you're not supposed to. He talks about self-induced healing as a rainbow-colored butterfly. And the symbolism of the butterfly is transformation, the rainbow, harmony, and life in order. When I read that, you know, it's like, yeah, thank you. And all healing is self-induced. So we are the healers. I mean, others can be our coaches, as I mentioned in my comment. But what got you? What was happening to you that, in a sense, educated you and got you to write this?
So for me, I think maybe I had a little bit of a backwards or opposite experience than you did. I approached the physical body to a great extent and did not find healing that way. And it wasn't until I addressed my mind and spirit that I fully healed. So I think I took the sort of opposite approach where I assumed because I was bitten by a tick, which to this day I still don't remember. I never found the tick bite. But I was positive for Lyme disease, and it was many years after I suspect I was bitten that I was diagnosed. So by then, I was on a lot of antibiotics for a long time, and it didn't work for me, which often happens with Lyme disease. By then, I had brain lesions and full-blown arthritis and neuropathy and every autoimmune disease under the sun. And so for me, I think what I needed to do was really look at, yes, of course I got bitten by a tick, and of course my immune system, you know, couldn't handle it, and those things are all physical, but what part, not that it was my fault, but could I have been participating in any way? And when I looked at that with a very honest and open heart, I saw that, yes, I was living my life in a lot of ways that weren't true to myself, and I truly believe that that's what created a situation where I was not able to heal. And so this book comes from my journey of being able to heal by looking at that part.
Yeah, I don't think you could separate the two things. You know, the mind and body are a unit. Because also, well, I'm always mentioning a student who did the research as his thesis on actors, using actors. They're in a comedy, immune function is enhanced, stress hormone levels go down.
Mm.
Gave them a tragedy script involving a murder, and the immune function went down, stress hormone levels went up. I always say that impressed the hell out of me because these people are just reading a script while he's drawing their blood. And if just reading a script and acting a part changes you, think what your real life does to you.
Absolutely.
On page 259 of your book, there are three things I think that were the solution. It says, while we have covered massive ground in the book, all that you have learned can be boiled down to a few things that make up the formula for true healing. And boy, I agree with you. Become who you really are. You know, your authentic life, not the one imposed on you. I'm always saying, actually, to high school students, don't kill yourself. Eliminate what's killing you. Become who you really are. And I know a lot of people who closed their law office and started playing their violin, which their parents weren't proud of, and then didn't die and got a job in an orchestra. Learn to be easy on yourself and love yourself. I'm always saying, love yourself and love your body. Trust that you can be okay no matter what. And that's a matter of faith, you know, faith in yourself and faith in your ability to overcome. And, you know, that summarizes everything very well, but I think so much of it. Well, let me ask you a test question. How were you brought up? Did you feel loved by your parents?
Absolutely. And when I really started to find out about the emotional and spiritual aspect of healing, I was actually really confused because I was brought up by two super loving, cool, hippie parents. My dad went to Woodstock. He was a therapist. My mom had her own business but stayed home with us much of the time. And if anything, I always say I was clobbered with love. Maybe when I was younger, I was, you know, held and cuddled and smutched and all those things that sometimes I had a very good Jewish mother, very great dad. And I grew up in the most loving family. And I think that there's so much more that goes into it, you know, so I was really confused about why me? And I think a lot of, you know, even if we're brought up with much love, a lot of our perceptions about the world, sometimes we're just sensitive people. I think I was sort of born a sensitive soul. I remember when I was young and I would go to a hospital, or my dad worked in nursing homes, so sometimes I would go with him and visit the patients. I would feel in my body like this aching. Like now that I'm older, I realize that I was probably picking up. I was just really sensitive and feeling those emotions. So I didn't have the trauma that you see with some people, you know, in their lives that then, you know, can help create an environment of chronic illness. I don't have anything like that. I mean, I think if anything, I created my own environment of dis-ease by not feeling perfect enough, being afraid that I wouldn't live up to other people's expectations. But I don't believe that it was how I was raised. I think I'm just a person that likes everybody to be happy and everybody to get along, and that's not always how life goes.
See, if you're brought up with love, you know you're worth something. You take care of yourself. If you were brought up with destructive parents, because the opposite of love is indifference, rejection, and abuse. So I know people who are committing suicide or telling me that's what they're going to do because of how they were brought up. And also those, a study done at Harvard, who said my parents didn't love me, by middle age, 97% of them had suffered a major illness.
Mm.
And I always feel all the self-destructive behavior, addictions, everything else, is related to the fact that, you know, there's something wrong with you. You're a failure. You embarrass me. I always quote a lady I know who said, my mother's words were eating away at me and maybe gave me cancer. She had the courage to rebirth herself, just what your list said, and become, as she said, my authentic self. And, you know, she was thanking me for helping her and giving her permission. I said, I mean, that's what everybody has to realize. You don't need anybody's permission to be your authentic self. But let me, it's hard for me to not, from what I read, a story, something you talked about, you know, the beliefs that are blocking you and all the, how people affect you and so forth. And a lady that I got to know, a friend, I'm terrible with names, but she wrote a little book called Purple, because I think we're all capable of reparenting each other. And she said while she was in first grade, she drew a picture. The teacher asked the class to draw a picture. And then the teacher starts screaming at her for using purple, which is a color for people who are dead and spiritual, and I'm not hanging your picture on the wall, and oh, the poor kid. So in second grade, she said, Mr. Barta said, draw a picture. And she left her paper blank. Got to give her courage for that. But she's a wreck. What's he going to say when he comes to my desk? Mr. Barter saved her life. He put his hand on her shoulder and said, the snowfall, how clean and white and beautiful.
Nice.
And you wrote in your book, let me show you how this works. Let's say you're 4 years old and you draw something you're proud of. You arrive at home excited from preschool and show your mom, who's trying to finish her own stuff, take care of your baby sister. She smiles and tells you, go put it away and get ready for dinner. You know, and what that could do for you, do to you, versus your mother saying, oh, wonderful, let me put it on the refrigerator. And, you know, all these small things, but I think we need training on how to bring up children, love each other, and a whole host of things.
Absolutely, and it is those small things, you know, and I mentioned I didn't go through any, you know, big trauma when I was growing up, but when I kind of went through the process of healing, I realized it was all the little small things that could have gone either way. Maybe somebody would have said that to another kid and it wouldn't have had any effect, but because of just who I am, I interpreted it a certain way, I made a meaning out of it, or whatever happened, you know, whatever, it happened. And so those little things are really the things that I went back and healed in order to heal. I didn't have anything huge to heal, and so I think that shows people, you know, even though there are all these studies about how trauma, you know, contributes to illness, we can also look at things that seem like they didn't matter to us, and maybe they didn't really have an impact, and those are important to look at as well.
Yeah, go ahead, Lionel.
Sure. Amy, this is Lionel Ketchian, and I'm very interested, of course, in what you're talking about with the book and your healing, and especially when you talk about be yourself, and then you bring up be happy, and you talk about wanting everyone to be happy. So I can't agree with you more, because I had started a happiness club back in January 2000, and I'm really behind happiness and what it could do for all of us. You know, it's a spiritual value. And so I think what you're doing is healing, and all of this stuff is so connected, happiness and of course what Bernie's all about. And I've got to tell you, Bernie, I was cleaning up my stuff of years, and 30 years ago, on August 10th, 1986, you appeared on my radio show, Successful Living. And Amy, I told Bernie back then that I was going to make him famous. So I stood by my word. And his book that was written in 1986, Love, Medicine, and Miracles by HarperCollins, you know, he's a big success because he was on this radio show that I think there was probably, aside from my mother and a couple of other people that listened to it. I'm kidding. But, you know, here's all I could say. What you're writing about, what Bernie's written about, had captured my total interest back then. And I knew that this was big. In fact, I really didn't know how big it was because, you know, here's a doctor, and I have heard other doctors get on the bandwagon of expressing the positive nature of where we can go with that. And they really didn't find their way up to the top. But Bernie, thankfully, has really carved out quite a big difference for all of us. And And I'm wondering, Amy, has he been, had impact in your life as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. The interesting thing is, I mentioned my dad was a therapist, so we had bookshelves of just great books. And I remember when I was probably about 12 or 13, I pulled off the pink book off the bookshelf, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. And as much as I could be interested or read at that age, before I had any health problems, I looked through it and I read parts of it. And when I was going through my whole healing journey, which was, you know, when I was in my mid-20s, I got that book out again. And it had a massive impact on me because it felt like, and I think this is why Bernie's work has risen to the top when some others haven't, it felt true to me in my soul. You know, when you read something and you just know it's the truth, it was like it ignited in me what I already knew. And it helped me to really trust in going in that direction. And that was a huge part of my healing journey was, yeah, I know this. This is true. I've been connected to this for so long. I just wasn't able to understand it in a way that I need to now. And yeah. It really allowed me, without blame or fault, to look at myself and just go, what can I change? Like, I have to do something because, you know, a lot of people, and I had doctors in the past say, you know, are you in a good relationship and this and that? And I didn't ever want to be blamed, but the cool thing is that if we can see our part in it, not our fault in it, but our part in it, then we're also part of the solution, which puts us in such a powerful position instead of feeling powerless like we have to wait for someone else to fix us. So it was massive for me to read and then reread that amazing book.
I have to add for everybody listening, I found sort of accidentally that I have so many books in my house. I was reading something and noticing how really good this book was. And then I noticed that I had marked it and I'd read it before. And what it taught me was I'm improving, meaning that I'm finding more wisdom, being taught more by the same book. And I literally tell people now, every 2 or 3 years, read the same book. If it doesn't get better, you haven't changed.
Wow.
But if new things jump off the page at you, which enlighten you, then it shows you're open and you've changed. And it's a good sign. You know, it's like self-therapy, knowing that you're growing. And let me, again, back to your book on chapter 6, Learn the Language of Your Body. Use a quote by, who is it? Saori Minota. The body is honest. That's something I began to learn. You know, a lot of things you're not taught in medical school. But Alice Miller, in one of her books, the quote is, our childhood is stored up in our body. And it ends with, you know, that if you don't respond, someday the body will present its bill for it's like an incorruptible file. And that's something I began to learn, too. And found that the psychiatrists and psychologists agreed with me so often, while doctors would disagree and say, where'd you read that? That's a lousy study. And psychiatrists would do studies on medical students, look them up 40 years later, and say you could tell from their personality and their drawings what disease they were going to get, what part of their body it would be in. As a matter of fact, Carl Menninger, I mean, think of your book, too, the psychiatrist. I sent him my first book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, just for a comment. What did he think of it? And he wrote back saying, I was about to write a book called 10 Hopeless Cases, 10 People Who Should Be Dead Today. But he said, I'm not going to. You just wrote it. See, that blew my mind. And then one more comment, and I promise I'll take a breath again, was sending articles. See, Jung interpreted a dream and diagnosed a brain tumor probably 100 years ago. I have never met a doctor who's ever told that medical book. I started working with drawings and dreams and sent them to a medical journal, you know, article. Oh, this is interesting, but it's not appropriate for our journal. So what do? You send it where it's appropriate. Guess what? They mail it back. It's appropriate, but this isn't interesting. We know all this. That blew my mind. You know, why people need books like yours and mine, how to heal yourself. And we're not taught that in medical school. So we have to take a break, and when we come back, Amy, if you'll share your thoughts on that subject, you know, why you wrote the book, who you hope will read it, and how it can help. Okay.
Book of Miracles by Dr. Bernie Siegel contains inspiring stories of healing, gratitude, and love. Heartwarming and heart-opening, these stories were gathered from decades of his medical practice. The stories are riveting, warm, and demonstrate what we are capable of. They show that we can achieve miracles as we confront life's difficulties. Discover the importance of how changing from the inside out opens the door for a miracle to take place, and more, in Dr. Bernie Siegel's new book, A Book of Miracles. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or your favorite bookstore. Dr. Bernie Siegel's A Book of Miracles.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Before you go to bed in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, or in the morning fresh from dreams, Dr. Bernie Siegel is up ahead of you. The light is on at his writing desk. Maybe, amazingly, he's been mulling over the very same thing you've been thinking about. Introducing Words and Swords, the new series of journaling journeys with poetic thoughts by Bernie Siegel, M.D. Each of Bernie's poems is paired with space for you to express your feelings and thoughts, providing you with the opportunity for healing and growth, and to laugh a little with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Order Words and Swords now at 800-723-0336. That's 800-723-0336.
Love, Magic, and Mud Pies is a brand new book by Bernie Siegel, M.D. It helps you raise your kids to feel loved, be kind, and make a difference. Bernie, a husband of over 50 years, father of five children and grandparent of eight, shares the gems of wisdom he has gathered from his practice and his own family life. Using his caring, comforting, down-to-earth style, Bernie's book answers parenting questions and gives you a wealth of quotes, anecdotes, and parenting tips, delivered with just the right dose of compassion, inspiration, and gentle humor. Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, an insightful, supportive, must-have guide on every aspect of parenting. Love, Magic, and Mud Pies by Bernie Siegel, M.D. is available on Amazon.com and find bookstores everywhere. Order it today. And don't forget to hear Bernie Siegel's show, Mind Health Matters, right here on HealthyLife.net.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Many thoughts in my head. We need a 2-hour or 3-hour program. But one of the things I started doing, again, the language of the body, get back, Amy, to present you with a couple of thoughts, was to say to people, how would you describe your illness? And then the words that came out of them were always about their life. Now, I have to say that some people would say it's been a wake-up call, fine. But, you know, when they would use negative words like failure, pressure, all kinds of things, then I'd say, what else in your life fits it? And so it was really interesting how the disease presented to them. And the other, asking people why, you know, in a sense, they were sick at that time, to make it aware, you know, like identical twin sisters don't get a disease within a month of each other. So it was asking them what was going on in their life, because that also, you know, can change their body chemistry. And then doctors would say to me, you're blaming your patients. Because you were describing your experience in India, how they, you know, got into you as a complete human being, not just focusing on the mechanical and physical facts. So how did you see this evolve, and how comfortable are the people you're working with now? Are they willing to participate, not feel like they did something wrong to get sick?
Yeah, absolutely. I really admire my clients because I feel like they're so much more evolved than I was when I was working on healing. You know, toward the end, obviously, I really got on board with it's me who has to do this, and I need to find out what in my life isn't working and clear all of that. But it really amazes me. And I think it probably helps that I've been through it and I'm willing to stand up and say, this wasn't my fault, but I surely contributed to this. Like, I have no shame in saying that, as I was talking about before, because that means that I am part of the solution.
Right.
And so I have all of the clients that come to me are so open and just tell me if I'm participating some way, I want to know how. And it's so amazing that when you ask them, well, how do you think you are? I mean, a lot of times they need my help trying to sort of dissect it a little bit. But people know in their hearts, like, okay, well, I don't speak up for myself, and I'm really miserable with this, but, you know, I don't want to change because I'm scared of this. If you really get quiet and really get honest with yourself, you know inside some of what's contributing.
You know, I think Amy, what you're talking about is something very profound, and it really is a difference between accepting responsibility but not saying that it's your fault. I mean, there's a complete difference there. Most people think that when you say, I'm responsible, that you're saying it's your fault, and we're not saying that at all.
Yeah. Absolutely. And does it do any good for somebody to say, not my fault, I had nothing to do with it? The only person that energy is hurting is them, because at some point you have to go, I don't know how the heck this happened, but I just want to fix it no matter what. I just want to heal. And so I think from that place, and I try to reiterate this in the book over and over, you got where you got because of a variety of reasons, and it doesn't really matter. It's okay. However you got there, it's okay. And let's just move forward from here. You know, it's nobody's fault, but if you want it to get better, then you're going to have to be in a place to decide that you're going to participate. It's as simple as that, as I see it.
You know, it's interesting because one of the things I don't think I noticed in the book was discussion of religion and health. And what I found was, and began to study religion, because I didn't realize how guilty, the guilt, shame, and blame.
Mm.
You know, I'm a sinner, God is punishing me, and the clergy can be just as much of a problem, some of them. They always say, the current pope, it's nice to see him, you know, opening the doors to many that other popes shut the doors to, and literally said to Catholics, don't vaccinate yourself because God decides who gets smallpox. That's from the pope, okay, in the 1800s. And when I read things like that, I thought, wow, how can you say that? You know, you're going to let one of your children die of smallpox so he'll go to heaven versus keeping him alive with an injection? I mean, it just gets to be nuts. But I think that you have to understand that a lot of people are afraid to show up. See, I'm not going to go see Amy Scherer because what if I don't get well after I see her? Then I did it wrong. And I think that's
right.
The part that I'm trying to make clear to people. This is not about guilt, shame, and blame and failing. I mean, we're all going to die someday. But it's about participating in your life and enjoying your life. You said to love your life. And then Monday morning doesn't become a problem to you.
Right. And you know, I always say I didn't do everything right. In my healing, I surely did not work on myself for 2 or 3 hours a day. I took the wrong turn sometimes, and I didn't do it perfectly. And I left behind techniques that I didn't resonate with, even though other people told me they were the cure for them. I didn't do everything right, and I healed anyway. So it's not a process of perfection. It's just a process of participation. That's what counts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a goal, a desire, and your body sensed that and made a difference. I mean, I see people, when I say draw a picture of yourself, they draw their disease. And I had something that I used to call Siegelstein. A whole family comes in. They've got a very sick relative. And everybody in the family looks sick except for one person. And I always knew that was the sick person. They were getting attention and literally killing the family, you know, having them up day and night taking care of them. And I always said to the family, I will show you what the problem is. And I'd say to the patient, I guarantee you a cure. I'm going to get it all together. Just come back in 2 weeks. We'll cure you. And they would never come to the office again.
Okay.
I mean, I'd get calls from the emergency room, you know, all kinds of places where I didn't have the cure waiting for them. And I did it to try to help the family because it was nuts. But to help people again see that they can get what they desire out of life without having to be sick, that they can ask, you know, for their need, that's survivor behavior. And something, again, that many psychiatrists see when they're helping people with life-threatening illnesses, the personality of those people. And the ones who are, you know, long-term survivors have a distinct personality. And I have to say, that's, again, what you're teaching. And, you know, as Ashley Montague, the anthropologist, said to me many, many years ago, after one of my lectures, and I'd listened to his lecture where he was saying the same thing. He said to me, "Bernie, I loved your talk, but you have to understand it's because I agree with you." And that's why I can say I love your book, but yes, because I agree with you.
And I do feel like there's, you know, personality, and there's the way we look at the world, and there's so much. But I remember even being little when you talk, you know, when you talk about that we get something or that we need the illness. When I was little, I really didn't like school. I think I was just a really sensitive kid, and it was a lot of people, and I was scared to raise my hand, all kinds of things. Well, I had a stomachache, I'll tell you, probably 9 out of 10 days. And you know, always went to the nurse's office, and as soon as I went and laid down in the nurse's office, my stomach would feel better. I think I spent 90% of my school years in the nurse's office. And when I got older, I realized that the nurse's office was my sanctuary. It kept me safe from a world that I had a lot of fear in. And no wonder I manifested chronic illness where at one point I was bedbound, because that illness kept me out of a world where I had a lot of fear that I wouldn't be accepted, or that I would be overwhelmed, or that not everybody would be happy and I would take it on, and who knows. But I mean, absolutely, you know, our desire to be well is one thing, but then there's sometimes something overshadowing that, where our desire to be sick is another. Being sick saved me from so much of what I was scared of, and I was able to deal with that and face it and release my fears, that's when I started to get well, and it was safe for me to go back into the world again.
Yeah. Oh, boy, what you're reminding me of, now we have to take a break, was we have 5 kids, and I used to say to them, "You don't want to go to school. You don't have to get sick."
Yeah.
I am giving each of you a day, you know, or two off. I don't remember how many days I gave them a month, where they could just walk in the kitchen and say, "I'm not going to school today." You know, so you don't have
Brilliant.
That's good.
And on your cover, it's really striking me for the first time, you have birds in a cage, and one, the cage door is open and it's flying free. And let's talk about that.
All right, because I wanted to talk about that too, so both of us are on that page.
Okay.
Before you go to bed in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, or in the morning fresh from dreams, Dr. Bernie Siegel is up ahead of you. The light is on at his writing desk. Maybe, amazingly, he's been mulling over the very same thing you've been thinking about. Introducing Words and Swords, the new series of journaling journeys with poetic thoughts by Bernie Siegel, MD. Each of Bernie's poems is paired with space for you to express your feelings and thoughts, providing you with the opportunity for healing and growth, and to laugh a little with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Order Words and Swords now at 800-723-0336. That's 800-723-0336.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
The Book of Miracles by Dr. Bernie Siegel contains inspiring stories of healing, gratitude, and love. Heartwarming and heart-opening, these stories were gathered from decades of his medical practice. The stories are riveting, warm, and demonstrate what we are capable of. They show that we can achieve miracles as we confront life's difficulties. Discover the importance of how changing from the inside out opens the door for a miracle to take place, and more, in Dr. Bernie Siegel's new book, A Book of Miracles. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or your favorite bookstore. Dr. Bernie Siegel's A Book of Miracles.
What can you learn from exceptional patients? Plenty. No matter what disease you are dealing with, Dr. Bernie Siegel's book, Peace, Love, and Healing, can help you identify the hidden factors that may be stopping you from getting well. What are the hidden factors? Are you ready? Guilt and blame. Find out how guilt and blame is related to your lifestyle and illness. In Peace, Love, and Healing, Bernie, as he likes to be called, will tell you what steps you can take to heal a life and cure a disease. Peace, Love, and Healing. Get it today at fine bookstores or at Bernie's website, ecap-online.org.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Okay, we're back, and we'll talk about birds. I have to tell one more story. Our daughter loved having birds and, you know, talking birds. And when she got married, she and her husband used to yell at each other, you know. And what were they yelling at? Why are you calling me? What do you want from me? It's not me. It's the bird. The bird knew their name, so he, you know, the bird would just shriek their name, and then they'd yell, "What do you want?"
I got to share something about birds. My happiness newsletter this month had an article that I had written about, birds. I feed them chickadees and tufted titmouse and so forth. But what's happened over the last year or so is I have this tufted titmouse that has been teaching me how to feed it. So he lands in my kitchen window and looks at me, and I go out and put some peanuts on the windowsill, and he comes back and he eats them. So I've named that bird Bernie because he's brave, and I'm serious. I don't know if it's a male or a female.
Aww.
Sorry, Bernie, but Bernie's has a mate. I don't know if it's his brother or his family or what. But so the two of them will come and do that, but. He's there, you know. I've almost got to sneak around the kitchen because if he gets one look at me, he's persistent and he'll fly around, and I got to feed him. So he's absolutely trained me. But you know, here's the point. The point is, it reminds me of that free bird because that takes a lot of courage to be able to establish that kind of he's developed this way of interrelating with me.
Yep.
That's quite remarkable for an animal.
Well, not really. Animals are complete, as somebody said, not just good.
Yeah.
Our home was a zoo. It's another book if people want to read, Love, Animals, and Miracles, that came out a while ago. But we hatched all the eggs in incubators, and so all of the birds that came out thought our children were their parents. And literally, they would try to get on the school bus with them in the morning. These were ducks and geese who would walk, up and down the driveway and want to go. And I'll just add one more, how they connect. My folks live on a lake, so we'd release, when we got to be, too many of these creatures in the yard, we'd let them go on the lake. And when a school bus drove up, they would leave the lake and go up to the street looking for our kids.
Oh.
And that's how you talk about relationships, connections, and how much it all, means to us.
Well, I have a question.
To learn.
I have a question for both of you. And Amy, let me direct it at you first. I think communication and connection, and that's what I was talking about with the bird, because it's an incredible thing to have a connection with nature. But how important is connection in regards to our health?
I think it's really, really important.
Go ahead, Amy.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sorry. So I think it's really, really important. One of the things that I talk about a lot is feeling safe in the world, emotionally and physically, and how that affects our immune system and our nervous system and really our well-being. And so I think connection with people that not help us feel safe, but that connection helps us feel safe in the world, that we have a tribe, that we have somebody that understands us, somebody that we can, it really comes back to somebody or people that we can be our true selves with, because that creates a sense of safety. And so in that way, and even if it is with, a pet or an animal at the park, just connecting to another source that helps you feel safe in the world, I think it's hugely healing.
Yeah. Let me, it's interesting because on page 36, you have a title, you know, a subtitle, Change Your Relationship with Stress. And it's interesting when you bring up the word relationship. Yes, people live longer if they have relationships. Women live longer than men with the same cancers, married men better than single men. It goes on and on. Have a dog in your house and your survival rate after a heart attack is, you know, increased very significantly. I think it was 6% if you had a dog in the house. 24% of the people died within a year if they didn't have a dog in the house. So it changes, again, it's scientific. It changes our chemistry. But also changing, which is an interesting concept that Amy brings up, your relationship with stress. See, when you can say, I mean, Joseph Campbell put it in these words, when you're going through hell, ask yourself, what am I to learn from this? You see, I hold up a black a dot on a piece of paper when I'm lecturing and say, what do you see? And most people say a black dot. No, it's a piece of paper is what I'm holding with a dot on it. But if you look at that blackness, the charcoal, I always say, you put pressure on it, it becomes a diamond. So, yeah, there are people who say this was a wake-up call, the blessing, the new beginning, the curse became a blessing, and look what it taught me to do. And if we keep learning from it, and I find that on a personal level very meaningful, when I don't like how I'm behaving or feeling, I say, what am I to learn? And then it's like, oh, okay. And it changes my behavior. You know, the difficulties become my therapist and not something I'm upset with. And I also would add, don't be afraid to share your wounds. Everybody's wounded. It doesn't matter what they look like. They got troubles, believe me. I'm laughing because I always go to Stop and Shop for therapy and interact with everybody who's there. And have a good time by the time I get home. So, you know, don't be afraid to share things with people and put a bandage over your eye and then go out into the world or go to work. This is a true story. I was poked in the back in Stop and Shop. I turned around, there was a lady with a bandage on her eye. You're the only person in Stop and Shop who hasn't asked me what happened. My crazy sense of humor, I said, oh, it's because I know what happened. I have an abusive spouse also. And then she didn't know what to do with me. But, you know, but that impressed me. She is revealing her wound, and everybody is talking to her. So don't be afraid of sharing your wounds.
Well, you know, that's one of the advantages of being sick in a family is you attract a lot of attention and you get connected. And that's what we want to avoid. We want the connection without the illness.
Yes. The love. All right. And, you know, we have, I guess, take another break. But one of the things, again, that impressed me, you talk about brain dizziness. One of my symptoms that I've had for years is vertigo and dizziness. And, you know, and I read your page about all the anger and other emotions and things. It really struck home for me because I know, in a sense, you know, when I'm feeling it, where it's coming.
Before you go to bed in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, or in the morning, fresh from dreams, Dr. Bernie Siegel is up ahead of you. The light is on at his writing desk. Maybe, amazingly, he's been mulling over the very same thing you've been thinking about. Introducing Words and Swords, the new series of journaling journeys with poetic thoughts by Bernie Siegel, M.D. Each of Bernie's poems is paired with space for you to express your feelings and thoughts, providing you with the opportunity for healing and growth, and to laugh a little with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Order Words and Swords now at 800-723-0336. That's 800-723-0336.
Love, Magic, and Mud Pies is a brand new book by Bernie Siegel, M.D. It helps you raise your kids to feel loved, be kind, and make a difference. Bernie, a husband of over 50 years, father of 5 children, and grandparent of 8, shares the gems of wisdom he has gathered from his practice and his own family life. Using his caring, comforting, down-to-earth style, Bernie's book answers parenting questions and gives you a wealth of quotes, anecdotes, and parenting tips, delivered with just the right dose of compassion, inspiration, and gentle humor. Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, an insightful, supportive, must-have guide on every aspect of parenting. Love, Magic, and Mud Pies by Bernie Siegel, M.D. is available on Amazon.com and find bookstores everywhere. Order it today. And don't forget to hear Bernie Siegel's show, Mind Health Matters, right here on HealthyLife.net.
The Book of Miracles by Dr. Bernie Siegel contains inspiring stories of healing, gratitude, and love. Heartwarming and heart-opening, these stories were gathered from decades of his medical practice. The stories are riveting, warm, and demonstrate what we are capable of. They show that we can achieve miracles as we confront life's difficulties. Discover the importance of how changing from the inside out opens the door for a miracle to take place, and more, in Dr. Bernie Siegel's new book, A Book of Miracles. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or your favorite bookstore. Dr. Bernie Siegel's A Book of Miracles.
Smudge Bunny, a book for children by Dr. Bernie Siegel, is based upon a true story of a bunny named Smudge, whom the Siegels really rescued. This charming tale about Smudge Bunny and her mother can help teach a child how to survive difficulties and turn them into blessings, as well as getting greater self-esteem. Smudge Bunny by Dr. Bernie Siegel, a charming tale, a bunny's tale, just for your child. Get it today at Amazon.com, bookstores, or Bernie's website at ecap-online.org.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Welcome back, everybody. We always give you time to get some drugs and alcohol into your system. Then we break up the show. you know, I'm sorry, but you know, when people said to me one day, a group, how do you handle stress? I said, oh, drugs and alcohol get me through. And I went to the men's room, and this guy came in, grabbed me. And I didn't know what was happening. He said, you're going with me. I said, what's going on? What are you talking about? He said, I'm taking you to an AA meeting. I said, oh, I was kidding. But I had a serious talk with him because he really woke me up. You know, I'm thinking it's a joke, and it ain't, you know,
right,
in some people's lives. So.
Right.
I let people know if I ever say that I'm fooling.
Hey, but, so Bernie, you know, during the break, we started having another incredibly interesting conversation about people don't recover because they have reasons to stay ill.
Right. Yeah, the benefits of illness. There's no question that, you know, there are benefits. And it really, you know, I see this in our family. I can be asked to do things. And if I respond out of compassion, it's not a problem. If you know what I mean? Because if the person really needs help, okay. But you have to understand, in one family, they hired a nurse to be with the sick sister. And the sister would wake up in the middle of the night, the nurse had dozed off, she'd go get her sister up instead of bothering the nurse. You know, I mean, it's crazy. Now they use the disease. But, yeah, there are benefits to illness. But one other thing that's very important before we're done, you have a couple of topics, power of belief and harmful belief. And that's something that really impressed me as a physician because, make a long story short, when doctors had made medical errors and weren't radiating people, giving them chemotherapy, even making a skin incision and not performing an operation, the patient all did well. Now, when I say that, I mean their disease responded, but they also had all kinds of side effects of the treatment they thought they were getting. And so the doctors involved who had came to me because they were feeling awful that they'd screwed up and made a mistake, and I said, it's not your fault. All the patients acted as if they were being treated, so you assumed they were. And that never occurred to them. And, of course, I couldn't get them to write articles about it. I think they were all afraid of being sued. But it shows you how powerful the mind is. It's hypnotic. You know, that when a doctor tells you what's going to happen, side effects, you know, improvement, whatever, that your hair can fall out, your skin turns red, the tumor shrinks, and you're not getting the treatment. And I may add, the power of belief on the other side, because one of my patients, who they were all known as crazy patients of Siegel, she had no side effects to treatment, so they thought the machine was broken. And it wasn't. So they said to her, how come you have no problem with all the treatment? She said, I get out of the way and I let it go to my tumor.
Mm.
So that's part of why I keep working with drawing. You know, that when you draw the devil giving you poison, you got a problem.
Yeah.
Versus is coming from God. And it's true of everything in your life. Draw your home and family. Draw yourself at work. I do it all the time to help people make the right decision. You know, because if you look like you're in prison in one scene and you're out free and enjoying life in another, you know, whether it's family, job, treatment, it's easy to know which one intuitively your subconscious, your unconscious knows. So I'd say pay attention to dreams and drawing, and you'll get a lot of wisdom.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned prison, because as I'm looking again at the cover of the book, Heal Yourself by Amy, there's three bird cages, and in the center one, the bird is free and out of the cage. I think what you just said, Bernie, and Amy, I'm sure this is what you've been thinking, because you talk about be you, be happy, be free. I think freedom is one of the benefits of being yourself and also being happy. Now, the bird, there's two ways to look at that. Somebody let it go, and if we can learn to let go of our beliefs and let go of everything, even our illness and everything else, and just be freer, be free, we actually would, I think, redo the body chemistry, the immune system, and everything else. It would begin to change just from that feeling of owning ourselves and being free. Because if we're not free, we've really imprisoned ourselves. And we might think that the illness is what is imprisoning us, but the truth is that there is no prison. It's us that just needs to act with the freedom that we need to have.
Yeah. That's why I use the word potential. You know, heal yourself. The potential is there. Stop worrying about doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen people, you know, close to death, who go home and then don't die. Now, when you say, why don't they die? Buy a house on the ocean to die meditating and looking at the ocean. Buy a house in Colorado, and I don't make up any of these stories because it's beautiful. I want to die in the mountains. Get a dog, put in a backyard wildlife habitat, laugh more, and letters that ended, I didn't die, now I'm so busy, I'm killing myself. Or, it was so beautiful here, I forgot to die. And
yeah.
I say, live that life. You know, Amy, you mentioned it. Love your life. When you start loving it, your body realizes, oh, you like it? You want to stay around? I'll do the best I can for you. And some of that can be faith, too. You know, the just any way that peace of mind can come to you. So you can, as one woman did, left her troubles to God and the cancer disappeared. That's a side effect of the benefits of her life. So don't wait for disaster and start doing what Amy is talking about. So you don't have to have a disaster to wake you up and get you to take care of yourself.
And if you do have a disaster, then it doesn't need to be a disaster. It can be an opportunity. It's all what
right.
you decide to do with it. And it can be over faster if you see it as an opportunity instead of get angry and hang on and blame yourself and blame others. It can, you know, anything you hold on to too tight never moves as far as energy flows. And so if we can just surrender to where we are and use it as an opportunity, that's how we move through it faster.
Right, right. So, Amy, do you feel that illness can be an emotional balancing act?
In what way? Illness is an emotional balancing act.
It is. Well, because you talk about being emotionally unbalanced. So emotionally unbalanced, wouldn't that lend itself to illness?
Yes, absolutely. And by emotionally imbalanced, what I think causes that is hanging on to things we don't need to, believing things that are harmful to us, like, you know, I'll have to be successful if I heal, or I'm not worth healing, those types of things. So a lot of people are afraid, you know, I had a negative thought, or I'm really sad today. That's not going to make you sick, but suppressing all of that stuff is going to make you sick. So I always say that the best emotional balance is just, again, we come back to allowing yourself to be who you are. If you need to have a meltdown, and then move on. Don't tell yourself you're stupid and weak that you're having a meltdown and make a big thing about it and get it stuck in your body and never move on from it and then hate yourself from doing it. I mean, we make these little ups and downs of life or in life bigger than they need to be by not allowing them and accepting ourselves in them. And I think if we can just accept who we are and be happy with who we are and feel free in the world, that can just make the biggest difference between well-being and illness.
Yeah.
Well said.
And, you know, I mean, somebody with AIDS who's supposed to wrote, when you live in your heart, magic happens. She put it on her refrigerator. She became HIV negative. Right? And I keep thinking of Helen Keller. I always tell people, read her stuff. You're blind and deaf from age 4. Why aren't you bitter, resentful, and mad at God and everybody else? She is such a wonderful, wonderful teacher. You never sense that in her. It's all about love and healing and everything else.
That's wonderful. Bernie, why don't we give Amy a chance to talk about her
website and community?
Oh, sure. So my name is Amy Scher, and it's S-C-H-E-R, and I can be found at www.amy, A-M-Y-B, like boys, my middle initial, last name Scher, S-C-H-E-R.com, amybscher.com. You can find my book there. If this all feels overwhelming, there are such easy, simple, quick ways to start healing. I work with clients one-on-one, and I also have an online course that teaches everything I did to heal, and it's not about perfection. It's about participation, and I truly believe anybody can heal. So I just want to, that's my message. Anybody can heal, and everybody deserves healing.
All right. And Amy, right. You know, keep in touch. In the future,
I will. This was
we're
such
not
a
going to
fun
be interviewing people. We're just going to talk. And I was just thinking, you know, we might get you to come back just to talk about the practical things you get people to do. That
I would love to
never
teach
stop talking so it's hard to fit everything.
Well, I will come back and talk some more. It was a pleasure.
Bernie and I like people that think like us.
Yes.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, bless you, Amy.
Have a good one.